Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, New Orleans? What's up across the Gulf South? What's up, Pelicans fans everywhere across the world? WWL.com, radio.com app. Less than 24 hours away from the NBA draft. 24 hours away from Zion Williamson officially becoming a Pelican. 24 hours away from the Pelicans drafting, well, we don't know, with the number 4 overall pick. But with each moment that goes by, it seems more and more likely that the Pelicans are going to keep that pick. I'm not saying that it's a sure thing, not even close to a sure thing, but I'm saying the longer this drags out, the more you think that the Pelicans might actually keep that pick. We're going to get to kind of break down some players that the Pelicans could draft with that number 4 pick. I wrote about it at WWL.com. There's 4 guys that I see as game changers, a little bit too strong of a word, but players that would fit really nicely here with David Griffin and Alvin Gentry's system and organization, kind of that they've gone over the rehaul. We'll get to that in just a little bit. You can also find it at WWL.com and the radio.com app. We got a loaded guest, 3 hours of NBA and Pelicans draft talk tonight. Greg Swartz, Bleacher Report. Andrew Doak, who is covering Zion Williamson's media availability today up at the draft. Carter Bryant and Ben Mintz also on the program. So that's your slate today as we get you set for our big-time draft coverage tomorrow, and they were mentioning this on Sports Talk, but we will have 5 hours of NBA draft coverage for you tomorrow from 4 to 9 p.m. right here on WWL. We're going to be broadcasting live from a location that we know. I'm not exactly sure if I can tell you on the air, so I don't want to get myself in trouble, but it will be hopefully be somewhere here locally downtown. Logan Falgu's behind the glass tonight, and it's open lines the first half hour. And again, as we get excited for what's going to happen tomorrow, we're asking you, well, who do you want to see the Pelicans draft? Not Zion. We know Zion is coming to New Orleans, but outside of Zion, whether that's with pick number 4 or if they were to move back with, say, the Bulls or the Hawks, who do you want them to pick in that top 10? And the phone lines are open for you all show long, as they are every single day. Number is 504-260-1870. That's area code 504-260-1870. And our text line is 870-870. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of breaking this draft down, I do want to say that what we're going to see tomorrow is likely going to be the most volatile and unpredictable NBA draft in recent memory. The top of the draft, kind of a foregone conclusion. We know who's going to be picked number 1, 2, and 3, unless there's just something incredibly unexpected that happens. We have known for months, years really, that Zion Williamson is going to be selected with the 1 pick. The only drama around that was which team would have those ping pong balls fall their way, and it was the Pelicans. A little New Orleans voodoo, I suppose. Behind Zion, seems pretty clear that John Morant, that outstanding point guard from Murray State, going to be taken by Memphis with the 2nd pick. That is almost a sure thing now that Memphis today traded away Mike Conley to the Utah Jazz. John Morant's going to end up in Memphis. You don't trade away that guy, even though they were trying to trade away him for salary cap reasons. You don't trade away your franchise point guard if you don't have a guy that you're expected to bring in or draft. That's John Morant. He's going number 2. We can kind of dismiss all of the silly trade talk and ideas that came out the past 24, 48 hours around that. Then, unless the Knicks have a last-minute change of heart, and admittedly, I don't think that's going to shock anybody who's been following this dysfunctional franchise run by owner Jim Dolan, but they're going to draft R.J. Barrett, Williamson's teammate at Duke, with pick 3, the clear-cut, in everybody's mind, third-best prospect in this draft, regardless of the smoke that's coming out of New York and everywhere today around, well, the Knicks, maybe they're going to draft Darius Garland. That seems like typical agent fodder, anonymous source junk that we see leading up to any draft, whether that's NBA, NFL, or otherwise. But after that, well, nobody seems to know. We've got multiple franchises within the top 15 picks or so that are expressing serious interest in moving up. We told you the Bulls, the Hawks, the Celtics holding pick 14 are also a team that is certainly exploring options to move up. Likewise, you have multiple teams from picks 4 through about 8 that are looking to move back. The Pelicans are one of those. That's going to make the first half of round one tomorrow from about 6 o'clock Central Time to about 8 o'clock Central Time as volatile, as unpredictable as any draft in recent memory. And from a fan perspective, and from my perspective sitting here on this side of the mic, it's going to be incredibly entertaining. Really is. This is going to be must watch and must listen tomorrow. And you know what's interesting is not only do the Pelicans have pick number one, but the linchpin to all this chaos that seems to be coming tomorrow, it's the Pelicans. Because they hold this fourth selection that everybody's trying to move up and get. And the pick they got from Los Angeles in the Anthony Davis trade. Seems pretty apparent they'd prefer to move back from that pick. But I'll tell you this, they're only going to do that if the assets offered to them are palatable to David Griffin. Because people have told me that the Pelicans do have their eyes on about three players specifically with that four pick that they think have separated themselves from all the fodder. You know, this conglomerate of players that everybody thinks is pretty much equal in their evaluation. Guys beyond R.J. Barrett to about pick number 15. Or, you know, on your draft boards from about 4 to 15. Remember, Griffin's shrewd here. He's not just going to give up the four pick because he wants to move back for relatively nothing. It's going to have to be something. Now, if the Pelicans decide to keep that pick, or if they trade back, say, with the Bulls just a couple of picks later, Atlanta a couple of picks later, then there are a multitude of players who really could fit nicely with this core. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to break down four guys that I think that everybody would like to see here in New Orleans in a Pelicans uniform, but one in particular that I think fits the best. Our pre-draft show here on The Last Lap, just getting started. Again, the phone line is open, and the number is 504-260-1870. The text line is 870-870. We continue in just a couple of minutes on WWL. Here's a couple of texts. One from the 504, how about killing two birds with one stone, getting a big dat can shoot, Bol Bol. Well, Bol Bol, the 7'2" forward from Oregon, he's not expected to be drafted until the 20s, and his draft stock is falling a little bit because of questions around his durability in the NBA, and I would have that question also. I think he's 7'2", like 210 pounds. That's just not going to work in the NBA. This is the ultimate project. Maybe they'll get Bol Bol, but that's only if they trade way back in that first round. Here's another text from the 504. Can't wait until Thursday night. Got nothing better to do anyways. Well, even if he had something to do, we would suggest you listen to us tomorrow 4 to 9 p.m. for our Pelicans and NBA draft special. We'll be on the air live from a location to be announced soon, hopefully, here downtown. Here is a text from the 504. The paint on the wall is dry, so I will listen to the NBA draft. You should. It's going to be fun tomorrow. We know Zion's going to go number one. The question lingers, what do the Pelicans do if they keep the number four pick? And certainly, well, what do the Pelicans do just period with the number four overall selection? Do they trade it? Do they keep it? Do they trade it for, you know, the one of the worst terms right now for me that I cringe every time I hear it, a young vet. Young vet. Let me just say this again. And I really will try not to get derailed here, but we spent a decade listening to Dell Demps tell us how, you know, trading away picks and young players for young vets was going to work with Anthony Davis. It didn't work. Let's not repeat the mistakes of the past, folks. There's not a term I despise more right now other than young vet, maybe load management. The NBA also. So four players I think are front and center, and you might see their names called at number four. The first one is obvious. It's Darius Garland, the point guard from Vanderbilt. It's a little bit of a duality with him. Both the most highly regarded prospect outside of the Williamson, Morant, Barrett trio, but he's also the least likely in my mind to land in New Orleans because of the position that he plays, a position that the Pelicans are chock full of. overloaded with young players at the point guard position. They got Lonzo Ball, former number two pick. They've got Frank Jackson, an emerging and intriguing young player behind him. There's the possibility the Pelicans bring back Elfrid Payton, who was born in New Orleans and showed flashes late in the season of excellence when he was healthy. Here's the thing with Garland and why teams are so high on him. He projects as a top-level three-point shooter. Limited action last year at Vanderbilt, just a handful of games, but shot 48% with the Commodores. He can create shots off the dribble. He's an elite spot-up shooter, and he's impressive in the pick and roll. Grades high in ball handling and penetration to the basket. Here's where the concerns come in for Darius Garland. It's about his size. He stands, without shoes on, just over 6 feet tall, and you can see him having big-time problems against the lengthier defenders in the NBA. Oh, maybe like a Lonzo Ball, who's going to play that point guard spot. I think Lonzo could lock him down. Also, he was turnover-prone at times. And that's a red flag to any team expecting Garland to come in and be a facilitator from the point guard spot. Still, he's got elite scoring ability, and that upside means it's going to be a major surprise if Garland falls past the top five selections in the draft. There's just too many teams that need a point guard on their franchise. A lot of teams salivating at moving up and getting him, too. It's why the Pelicans are dangling that four pick out to some teams who need the point guard. So beyond Garland, it was obvious we had to include him in here because there is a chance that the Pelicans may just see Garland as too much separation between Garland and everybody else, where you just take the best player available if you're going through a rebuild. I could certainly see that happening, and I'm not going to be mad here on the air if Garland is a Pelican come Thursday night. If it's not Garland, and frankly, even with Garland there, the guy that I would prefer the Pelicans to draft if they keep pick four is DeAndre Hunter, the small forward and swingman from Virginia. I don't think there's a better instant fit for the Pelicans than Hunter, who played last season at Virginia, won a national championship. He was also the National Association of Basketball Coaches National Defensive Player of the Year for the Cavaliers. And he projects, even at the NBA level, as an elite defender. He's 6'7". He's got some bulk on him at 225, 230. So he's got size and strength. He's got a 7'2" wingspan, which means he can defend multiple positions with ease, even though his natural fit is at the small forward spot. He's not just an elite defender, either. He's one of the best mid-range players in the draft, and he has an excellent long-range game. At least he showed it last year at Virginia when he shot 44% from three. Now, if you go past the shooting skills and the ball skills, he's also regarded by every scout that I've seen as unselfish, team-oriented, and high leadership skills. And if you see the comments coming from his former teammates and his head coach, Tony Bennett, they echo that. Big-time leader, unselfish, team-oriented. That seems to fit what David Griffin wants here, right? Now, the knocks on Hunter are that he doesn't do one thing exceptionally well offensively and never really showed the ability to take over games at Virginia. But here's the thing. The Pelicans aren't going to need DeAndre Hunter to take over games with the Pelicans. You got Zion Williamson. You got Jrue Holiday. You got Brandon Ingram. And you have Lonzo Ball. He doesn't have to be a big-time scorer. Other concerns, elite defender, won the National Defensive Player of the Year. So take this with a grain of salt. But his block shot rate was oddly low for a guy who is, again, considered the best defender in college basketball. Not a great rebounder either, which is a concern from the small forward spot. He'll be turning 22 this year, so he's a little older than the prospects near the top of most draft boards. But also, you could say that's a good thing. Remember, Griffin has expressed a desire to avoid overloading this roster with teenage youngsters who could take years to develop and acclimate to the NBA game. Hunter's not that. DeAndre Hunter's my guy. I've settled on Hunter as the guy that I would like to see New Orleans, if they hold the number four pick, to take a shot on. Imagine that quartet of defenders on the court for the Pelicans at one time. Jrue Holiday, already one of the best defenders in the league. Lonzo Ball, regarded as one of the best defenders of the point guard spot in the league and close to becoming, maybe, if he improves his offensive skills, because he's always factor in, but an all-NBA, all defensive player kind of guy. And, of course, Zion, all-around monster, including defensively. I really like DeAndre Hunter. Another guy similar to Hunter, if it's not him, Jarrett Culver from Texas Tech. Similar to Hunter, if you sacrifice a bit of defensive size and versatility for more of a well-rounded offensive game. He led Texas Tech 18.5 points a game last season. And if you consider the snail's pace that the Red Raiders played at, it's actually even more impressive. Primary ball handler for the Red Raiders. And he can play the point guard spot, the shooting guard spot, the small forward spot, the 1-2-3. Very good rebounder, great instincts, and every scout believes he's going to be an above-average scorer and defender in the NBA, although people vary on whether he'll be elite in either of those ways. Now, the questions around Culver relate to his three-point shooting ability and his size. He's 6'6", but he's only 195. You play the shooting guard spot, that means you're going to get pushed around, bullied in the NBA a little bit at that size. You can develop that. So it's not a huge concern. His three-point shooting ability, he also can develop that, but that's a concern. If you're playing the two, if you're playing the shooting guard spot in the NBA, well, it's really hard to put somebody who shoots only 30% from three on the court in the NBA playing the two. So size... Yeah, maybe the questions around his size overblown in the modern positionless NBA. And maybe this is the guy because he's got a little more offensive firepower than DeAndre Hunter that you might see the Pelicans call with pick number four. He's going to go early on Thursday night no matter what. Now, one other player, I would be highly surprised if the Pelicans take him at four, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities. Boom or bust guy, it's Cam Reddish of Duke, the small forward from Duke. He looks, if you just look at him, he looks the part of an NBA All-Star swingman. He's 6'8", 7'1", wingspan, got a lot of natural skills. He can create his own shot from the outside or off the dribble, but never really developed at Duke. Shot only 33% from three, never took over games even when Williamson was out. Never lived up to his potential. Not naturally quick, going to have issues defending, didn't look like a motivated rebounder. And here's the thing with Reddish. It might be a little unfair to judge him when you're playing next to R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson. Cam Reddish is going to be a top 10 pick. I think it might be a little bit of a stretch to draft him at four. But those are the four guys that I see the Pelicans could draft with pick number four. If it's me, I'm drafting DeAndre Hunter. 60-second break. Back with your calls. Then Andrew Doak. We've got Andrew Doak coming up in about 3-4 minutes. WWL-TV Channel 4 sports anchor who was up at the draft watching Zion Williamson take questions from reporters. We'll get to Andrew in just a second. To the phone lines we go. Terry and Marrero told our producer, Logan, that I'm full of it. Terry, how am I full of it? Go ahead.
All right. I want to try to test you, Seth, because I see what you're saying. But let me ask
you, Terry, you're hard to hear. Are you on speaker by chance? Any way you can go off speaker so we can hear you?
Let me take you off. Hold on.
All right. Yeah, I just want to be able to – I want everybody to be able to hear you. It's Terry and Marrero. There you go, Terry. Oh, yeah, much better. Go ahead.
All right. I just want to test your consistency, right? Okay, you're saying we should take DeAndre Hunter at four, right?
Yeah, that's my guy. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, now, my question is this here. If the Pelicans didn't have the number one pick and they had the number two pick, mm-hmm. who would you want us to draft? They didn't win the lottery. And they had,
sure. You're saying if they was number two, it would be Ja. We got to put it in context.
Okay.
I would not have traded for Lonzo Ball if I had the two pick, but I probably would have taken Ja Morant, all right?
But see, this is my point. I think sometimes we just overthink it, right? We go to overthinking things when really and truly everything is right there for us to see.
Sure.
And I know most people will say the same old thing. If the Pelicans had not won the lottery, they would take Ja Morant. That would be – nobody wouldn't even argue that point.
Mm-hmm.
My point is this. Before John Morant was John Morant, Darius Garland, before he tore his meniscus, was the consensus best guard in the league. But because nobody don't know about him or he's coming up the draft boards right now, high. But the truth of the matter is he is everything John Morant is also. He's just not as –
Yeah, he's not. He's not quite as big. Terry, I think you bring up a good point here, and this is why I will say, and a lot of people agree with you, including some people I've talked to this week, and they say you just take Garland, even though you're kind of overloaded at that position. And like I said when I was talking about Darius Garland, who is projects to be the best scorer outside the top three in this draft, and projects to be, you know, a long term fit at point guard for any team. I'm not going to be mad if they draft Darius Garland. If you go best player available here, and David Griffin and company thinks it's Garland. Look, I'm with you. I did take him. It's close enough in my mind, and this is just my opinion here. It's close enough in my mind between DeAndre Hunter and Darius Garland where the need for an elite defensive three and a guy who can play the 2-3-4 and maybe even in the NBA, the small ball NBA, maybe the five, rarely, but maybe he could play the five. That's DeAndre Hunter, and I think he's going to be the best defender in this draft. He can shoot the three close to what Garland can shoot it at. Remember, he was at 44% this last year, and he's a little bit older, which means it's going to take less time for him to acclimate into the NBA. So DeAndre Hunter's my guy, but to your point, Terry, I'm not going to deny anything you said there. Yeah, Garland is fantastic, and that's why you have multiple teams salivating at trading up and grabbing Darius Garland. It's a great call, Terry. Keep listening to us. We got our draft coverage coming tomorrow. Hold on if you're on the phone lines. We'll get to you in just a little bit. And we'll bring on in Andrew Doak, sports anchor for WWL TV Channel 4. He was up with the Zion Williamson press conference today. He'll be at the draft tomorrow, and he is watching this Texas Tech Florida State game and pins and needles. Tech has taken the 2-1 lead. Andrew, how's it going?
Well, it's better now, but, you know, I think previously, I think God's about to deny me at the pearly gates whenever I pass away one day because of all the words I'm saying during this game. So it's stressful, but we're getting ready for the 10 o'clock show, and we're enjoying our time up in Brooklyn, New York, regardless of what happens, I guess.
I'll tell you, Zion, and we knew this, we've heard him speak before, but he comes off as really impressive and humble, Andrew.
Man, he sure does. After speaking with this guy for 5 minutes today, it's hard to believe not only what he's able to do at his size when it comes to, you know, the basketball court. I mean, he's incredibly nimble, and just watching him on TV, I think it was a different realization to be able to see him in person and be like, this guy is 18 and he's not even 19 years old till July 6th. And to be able to move the way he did when I watched him on television is unreal. But, when it comes to his personality, it took me no longer than 5 minutes to say to myself, this guy not only is going to have the chance to be the face of the franchise for the Pelicans, but I'm telling you, in like a year or two, the way that he carries himself, how articulate he is, and just how smart he comes off, this guy has the chance to be the face of the NBA, not just the Pelicans franchise, the face of the league.
Yeah, and one thing that we embrace here in New Orleans and in Louisiana are people who, you know, don't have these oversized egos that come in here, embrace the city, and allow themselves to be embraced. And he seems like that guy, right? Kind of almost the anti-LeBron from a personality perspective, where, you know, it's about the other people and what he can do for, you know, teammates and franchises.
Yeah, when we first started our interview session with him during the media availability this morning, he was almost a little coy to, like, go ahead and just admit that he was going to be the number one pick. And I don't feel like it was because he didn't want to, like, step on other teams or anything like that. He knows the Pelicans are taking him number one, but it was almost like he didn't want to take the spotlight away or be overly confident in front of his contemporaries. And so that's just was my take on it. And I honestly respected it. And then as the interview kind of went on, I remember I even posed a question to him about the Pelicans restructuring the front office. And then I followed up by saying, look, I mean, if you are in fact the number one pick, and he kind of finally like laughed and he's like, no, it's okay. Like, I mean, I'm excited to get down there. And that's when he kind of went on the spiel where he was like, no, I'm actually really excited about New Orleans and being down there. And, you know, it sounds like from the conversations that he's had with David Griffin, he just wants to play basketball, and wherever he's going to end up, he's going to make the best of it. And it genuinely sounded like from whatever David Griffin told him, not that he was opposed to it before, but it sounded like they had just had a great meeting and that David Griffin sold him on more than being just a basketball player, but being a great business opportunity for him. And that was one of the things that he shared with us from their private meeting, going to Commander's Palace and getting to know, you know, each other and each other's families, was that, you know, he really sold him on this vision of marketing him as a brand beyond basketball.
And did not have chicken tenders at Commander's Palace. We finally put those rumors to bed, right?
Yeah, but he had fried shrimp and mashed potatoes. Like, is it that much better? Like, that's the seafood version of chicken tenders. Like, so I don't know. That was my take on it. You go to Commander's Palace, man. Get the souffle. Like, get some oysters. You gotta jazz it up some more. But he is 18, so maybe his palate isn't there all the way yet.
Or maybe he was just worried about, you know, humble guy. Maybe he's worried, oh, man, I don't want to get, you know, the most expensive items on the – maybe this is the test by David Griffin, how humble I'm going to be. I don't know. I don't know how I'd handle that situation.
True. It's a fair point.
Yeah, I wouldn't have – you're right, though. I wouldn't have the fried shrimp or the fried chicken, but that's just me.
I would probably be that guy that orders the most expensive thing. Like, I want the ribeye. I'm going out tonight.
It's Andrew Doak, sports anchor for WWL TV Channel 4. Now the questions. We know Zion's going one. We assume Ja's going to go number two now that Memphis traded Conley. I guess we're assuming, unless Jim Dolan goes full Jim Dolan up there, it's going to draft R.J. Barrett at three. That means the Pelicans are at pick four, and every moment that goes along here, it seems more likely that the Pelicans are going to keep the pick. If they do keep that pick, who are you leaning towards that you'd like to see them draft, Andrew?
Yeah, well, catching the end of your conversation with the last caller, I didn't get to hear all of it, but I would say would take with Gary Hunt if keeping really Dre Hunter. He seems he's kind of more of a 3D guy.
Oh, we're going to go ahead and put Andrew Logan, go ahead and pick up Andrew. We lost him there. I want to make sure I get his entire answer on this one. But we're hanging out with Andrew Doak of WWL TV Channel 4. I really want to know what he thinks about this. So I want to go back and revisit that so we can see the entire answer. Quick text here while we're checking on Andrew. Seth, if they move back to Atlanta with picks, would you like Reddish at 8 and the Texas center or Ford from France at 10? Maybe. I'm not high on Cam Reddish. I think he's too boom or bust for me. He is, and I'd rather have, a guy like Jarrett Culver, or if somehow DeAndre Hunter falls there. But, Reddish is going to go in the top 10 somewhere, you would think. All right, Andrew, sorry, you're breaking up there. I want to get your entire answer again. Who are you drafting with four if the Pelicans are there?
Can you still hear me okay?
Yes, yep, got you now.
Perfect, okay. I would take, if they're going to keep the pick, I'm with you. I would take DeAndre Hunter. I think he's a guy who right now is kind of more of a 3-and-D guy, but he's an elite defender. And I think his offensive game just, like, screams potential that it can just go up from here. He's someone who almost I would compare to someone like Kawhi Leonard. I mean, he was a really raw talent whenever he came into the league, but his length and just how rangy he is, he can lock down the best out there. And to be honest with you, I'll tell you this. Maybe the most impressive performance I saw, and this is coming from a Texas Tech fan, was he locked up Jarrett Culver whenever they were playing in the national championship game. And immediately when I was watching those two guys on the floor, and as much as I love Jarrett Culver, who would also be an unbelievable swingman, I sat there and I said, how are you not going to take DeAndre Hunter, really, really higher than Jarrett Culver whenever I watched those two? But, we'll see how it shakes out and who falls where. But if they were to keep the pick, I would take DeAndre Hunter. I really would.
Yeah, and some people are saying, well, he's 22. That's a knock against him. I almost think with what David Griffin said, Andrew, that he doesn't want a bunch of teenagers on this roster, that it might be a net positive, at least here with the Pelicans and Griffin.
No, I would agree. You still got plenty of years with this guy. 22 is too old? What, right. Because you're not 18 years old? I don't buy into that, no.
Outside of that, the Pelicans may move back with a team like Boston, pick 14, Atlanta, picks 8 and 10. You have anybody that you got your eye on a little later in the draft that maybe you'd like to see in a Pelicans uniform, Andrew?
Well, I would say maybe I think people keep forgetting, too, that, you got some second-round picks that you're able to work with. Look, I think you got to replenish some of what you lost in the front court. If I think it's pick 39, I believe, is one of the second round picks that the Pelicans have. I think Naz Reid, someone who, obviously LSU fans know, I think he could fall somewhere like there. I think he's a guy who has upside, but, not someone who has enough upside to take him in the first round, obviously, at least in my opinion. But he could be someone who, with that second round pick, want to take a flyer to see how he can pan out. That would be somebody that I would be interested in. But
Did you see the storylines about Naz Reid's bench press? And I'm going, did you learn nothing from Kevin Durant's workout? I think Kevin Durant, was it 10 years ago? It was zero bench presses. And, people are freaking out about three bench presses from Naz Reid. I'm like, what are you doing, people? Come on.
Yeah, Kevin Durant was a bench. I don't even know if he could bench 185 pounds.
I think he got zero. Yeah, I think he went. He did a grand total of zero of those. I don't think that's mattered, right? With KD.
No, I don't think so either.
So what are you guys covering up there the next other than the actual draft stuff? But I would imagine you're going to have all the sound and stuff on your program tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, we were covering basically, we lead into the draft tomorrow. I mean, kind of the interesting aspect is that, and not to take a, I don't know if you necessarily want to say that it's kind of taken some shine off the number one pick, but we already know who it's going to be, right? So, yeah, I'm really, really interested to see who they're going to take it at number four or what they decide to do with that pick. And so that'll be really what we surround the majority of our coverage with on draft night, because that's like the most intriguing thing to me. Outside of being able to talk to Zion today. And I think it's going to be mesmerizing to watch. Even if the Pelicans don't dish the trade or move up or back before draft night tomorrow, I think that even if they make a selection, depending on who it is at number four overall, it's still going to be ongoing what they decide to do with it after. I think it could certainly extend and play out over the next few weeks.
I'm a little bit of an anarchist, Andrew, so I just want New York not to take RJ Barrett so I can see the Barclay Center just melt down while you're up there. That's what I want. That's what I want to see. How fun would that be?
I talked to some Knicks fans this week, and I think they were trying to talk themselves into, well, RJ Barrett was the number one, you know, overall player coming out of high school, so maybe he's better than Zion, like trying to talk their way into it.
All right.
They're just looking for some sunshine here.
Yeah, they really are. Andrew Doak, sports anchor for WWL TV Channel 4. You can hear him and see him in tonight's sportscast, everything from up there in New York. And Andrew, good luck to your Red Raiders, who have a 2-1 lead right now at the College World Series, bud.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
All right. There he goes. On Twitter, at @AndrewDoak_WWL. We'll take a break. Back with your phone calls. Lines are open for you. Phone number 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Our text line's 870-870. What do you want to see the Pelicans do in tomorrow's draft? Who do you want to see the Pelicans take at pick four if they keep it, or maybe they move back a couple of spots? Who are your guys? Give me a call, shoot me a text. We're back after this on The Last Lap. Got a good text here from the 770. Trading back for a player did get us Drew Holiday. Do you think that's where David Griffin is leaning as far as trading back? What players do you think they should go for, if so? I know they've been linked to Bradley Beal. It seems less likely now with the reports coming out of Washington. Maybe a guy like Aaron Gordon, the forward in Orlando. I'll just be frank, though, here. And I've talked about it so much this week, I don't want to burn more minutes on my show really diving into this, but I am just so against that strategy here right now for the Pelicans. I can't really express my disdain for it. You don't trade pick four where you're likely going to get a player like a DeAndre Hunter or a Darius Garland or a Jarrett Culver or even a Cam Reddish, where you would have 8 years of team control of them for 2, 3, 4 years of whatever quote-unquote young vet you can get. That is doesn't, in my mind, and David Griffin is a much smarter basketball mind than me, so if this happens and he explains why, you're going to trust him way more than you do me. But I would find that just on its face a little outrageous, because it won't jive with wanting to compete for championships in 4, 5, 6 years down the road when that guy likely wouldn't be here anymore. You're not trying to win titles now in the next 1 or 2 years. Maybe with how relatively kick-started this rebuild is, maybe you could say in 3 years, well, maybe you're making a playoff run deep into the Western Conference. It's certainly going to be faster than it would have if you're starting everything over around Zion. A text from the 225, forget Garland, he signed with Rich Paul. That is a story that you're just going to have to, and that relationship, you're going to have to get used to, because Clutch Sports has turned into one of the bigger agencies for NBA stars. And that's why that David Griffin was very calculated in repairing that relationship. I mean, he just made the trade to send Anthony Davis to his preferred destination. And I would assume, and David Griffin even talked about the great relationship he had with Clutch Sports and Rich Paul. So that's not going to be an issue going forward in my mind. And let's be honest, by the time, if the Pelicans do draft Darius Garland, by the time he's up for unrestricted free agency, LeBron James isn't going to be in the league anymore, and it looks like the Lakers are going to be taking a big-time step back. 504-260-1870. That's area code 504-260-1870. Give us a call. Here's our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Will the Pelicans win a championship with Zion? Simple yes or no. You can cast your vote at WWL.com. We'll have some sound from Zion a little later in the program. Back in 3 minutes on The Last Lap. Our pre-draft show here on WWL on The Last Lap. 1 hour down, two of it to go. It's all NBA and Pelicans talks for the next 2 hours. If you're on hold, stay there as we'll get to your phone calls right after the news break. An update on our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Will the Pelicans win a championship with Zion Williamson? Vote split 50-50 right now. Cast your vote, WWL.com, radio.com app. Two guests next hour, Greg Swartz, NBA draft analyst for the Bleacher Report. We'll go heavy on draft prospects. And my buddy Carter Bryant, Carter the Power, checks in at 9:40. Two more hours. Stick around. Back in 8 minutes.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.